Today is April the 19th. Today, we see Saul's decline. Today, as you read through the Bible in a year, please read 1 Samuel 14 and 15. Saul's decline actually begins in chapter 13. There, Saul goes to fight against the Philistines. He is told by Samuel to wait for 7 days. Within 7 days, Samuel will come and offer a sacrifice. Then Saul can go up and fight the Philistines. Saul waits, and every day he sees more and more of his army sneaking away at night. By the seventh day, Saul says, oh, Samuel must not be coming, and he offers a sacrifice. Sure enough, as soon as the sacrifice is burning, Saul walks up and says, Samuel walks up and says, Saul, what have you done? In chapter 14, Jonathan and his shield bearer attack a Philistine garrison. This is the stuff of Hollywood. One man, one hero attacking overwhelming odds and winning. Scripture says that Jonathan would knock them down. His shield bearer came behind him with a knife and killed them as they lay on the ground. Israel saw what was happening. They fight the Philistines. Israel wins a great battle that day, but Saul makes a rash vow. He says, today, no man will eat. Declare a fast. They weren't prepared. They didn't carb load before the attack. So about halfway through the day, they're exhausted. They haven't eaten. Jonathan, who didn't hear the vow, sees some honey, eats the honey. And as a result, at the end of the day, they discover that someone has broken the vow and that someone is Jonathan. Saul says, bring Jonathan to me. I have to put him to death. But the people, chapter 14, verse 45, step in and say, no, Jonathan gave us this great victory today. You can't put him to death. Chapter 15 is a third issue that comes up. Israel fights against Amalek. When they get to Amalek, the Lord says, we declare Amalek harem. Kill all the people, kill all the animals. Take no booty for yourselves. Instead, what happened in verse 9, Saul and his men spared the life of Agag the king and kept the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the calves, the lambs, everything. In fact, everything that appealed to them, they kept. They destroyed only what was worthless or poor quality. Samuel comes, discovers what's happened. Look at what Samuel says. Here in verse 17, he says, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king of Israel. Do you remember when we started the story of Saul, we said that he apparently had a problem with low self-esteem. He hid among the baggage when he was declared king. Saul's low self-esteem came back to bite him. Samuel says, although you thought little of yourself, God made you king. As a result, God has torn the kingdom away from you. Enjoy today as you read 1 Samuel 14 and 15.
One day, Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah, around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah the priest, who was wearing an ephod, the priestly vest. Ahijah was the son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord who had served at Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Sina. The cliff on the north was the front of Michmash, and the one on the south was the front of Gibeah. "Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans," Jonathan said to his armor-bearer. "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few." "Do what you think is best," the armor-bearer replied. "I am with you completely, whatever you decide." "All right then," Jonathan told him. "We will cross over and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Stay where you are or we'll kill you,' then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up and fight,' then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them." When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, "Look, the Hebrews are crawling out from their holes." Then the men from the outpost shouted up to Jonathan, "Come on up here and we will teach you a lesson." "Come on, climb right out behind me," Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "for the Lord will help us defeat them." So they climbed up using both hands and feet. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over half an acre. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outpost and raiding parties. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. Saul's outlooks in Gibeah of Benjamin saw the strange sight. The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction. "Call the roll and find out who's missing," Saul ordered, and when they checked, they found that Jonathan and his armor-bearer were gone. Then Saul shouted to Ahijah, "Bring the ephod here," for at that time Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. But when Saul was talking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. So Saul said to the priest, "Never mind, let's get going." Then Saul and all his men rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews who had previously gone over to the Philistine army revolted and joined in with Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of the Israelites. Likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle continued to rage even beyond Beth Aven. Now, the men of Israel were pressed to exhaustion that day because Saul had placed them under an oath saying, "Let a curse fall on anyone who eats before evening, before I have full revenge on my enemies." So no one ate anything all day, even though they had found honeycomb on the ground in the forest. They did not dare touch the honey because they all feared the oath they had taken. But Jonathan had not heard his father's command, and he dipped the end of his stick into a piece of honeycomb and ate the honey. After he had eaten it, he felt refreshed. But one of the men saw him and said, "Your father made the army take a strict oath that if anyone who eats food today will be cursed. That is why everyone is weary and faint." "My father has made trouble for us all," Jonathan exclaimed. "A command like that only hurts us. See how refreshed I am now that I have eaten this little bit of honey? If the men had been allowed to eat freely from the food they found among our enemies, think how many more Philistines we could have killed." They chased and killed the Philistines all day from Michmash to Ajalon, growing more and more faint. That evening they rushed for the battle plunder and butchered the sheep, goats, cattle, and calves, but they ate them without draining the blood. Some reported to Saul, "Look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that still has blood in it." "That is very wrong," Saul said. "Find a large stone and roll it over here. Then go out among the troop and tell them, 'Bring the cattle, sheep, and goats here to me. Kill them here and drain the blood before you eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with blood still in it.'" So that night all the troops brought their animals and slaughtered them there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first of the altars he built to the Lord. Then Saul said, "Let's chase the Philistines all night and plunder them until sunrise. Let's destroy every last one of them." His men replied, "We'll do whatever you think is best." But the priest said, "Let's go ask God first." So Saul asked God, "Should we go after the Philistines? Will you help us defeat them?" But God made no reply that day. Then Saul said to the leaders, "Something's wrong. I want all my army commanders to come here. We must find out what sin was committed today. I vow by the name of the Lord who rescued Israel that the sinner will surely die, even if it is my own son Jonathan." But no one would tell him what the trouble was. Then Saul said, "Jonathan and I will stand over here, and all of you stand over there." And the people responded to Saul, "Whatever you think is best." Then Saul prayed, "O Lord God of Israel, please show us who is guilty and who is innocent." Then they cast sacred lots, and Jonathan and Saul were chosen as guilty ones, and the people were declared innocent. Then Saul said, "Now cast lots again and choose between me and Jonathan." And Jonathan was shown to be the guilty one. "Tell me what you have done," Saul demanded of Jonathan. "I tasted a little honey," Jonathan admitted. "It was only a little bit on the end of my stick. Does that deserve death?" "Yes, Jonathan," Saul said. "You must die. May God strike me and even kill me if you do not die for this." But the people broke in and said to Saul, "Jonathan has won this great victory for Israel. Should he die? Far from it. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair on his head will be touched. For God helped him do a great deed today." So the people rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. Then Saul called back the army from chasing the Philistines, and the Philistines returned home. Now when Saul had secured his grasp on Israel's throne and fought against his enemies in every direction, against Moab, Ammon, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines, and wherever he turned, he was victorious. He performed great deeds and conquered the Amalekites, saving Israel from all those who plundered them. Saul's sons included Jonathan, Ish-bosheth, and Malchishua.
He also had two daughters, Meribah, who was older, and Michal.
Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimeaz. The commander of Saul's army was Abner, the son of Saul's uncle Ner. Saul's father Kish and Abner's father Ner were both sons of Abel. The Israelites fought constantly with the Philistines throughout Saul's lifetime. So whenever Saul observed a young man who was brave and strong, he drafted him into his army. One day Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys." So Saul mobilized his army at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites, "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them, for you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Canaanites packed up and left. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life, and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle and fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my commands." Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. "May the Lord bless you," he said. "I have carried out the Lord's command." "Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear?" Samuel demanded. "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle," Saul admitted, "but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stop, listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you? Saul asked. And Samuel told him, Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, Go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why do you rush for the plunder and do what is evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. But now, please forgive my sin and come back with me, so I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else,
one who is better than you.
And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind. Then Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned, but please at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, Bring King Agag to me. Agag arrived full of hope, for he thought, Surely the worst is over. I have been spared. But Samuel said, As your sword has killed the sons of many mothers, now your mother will be childless. As Samuel cut Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel went home to Ramah, and Saul returned to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Samuel never went to meet with Saul again, but he mourned constantly for him, and the Lord was sorry he had ever made Saul king of Israel.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. Like, follow, and subscribe to this devotional on whatever platform you use to listen to it. Email your questions to us at questions@becomehope.com. Tomorrow, we see David anointed.